We'll have Tim Hasselbeck here in a couple of minutes. We'll be ready for him. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD, products curated for life. We'll have a good discussion with Tim here in a couple of minutes. A couple of things to pass along. The NHL has made some schedule changes for this upcoming season, and there are two games in the schedule changes throughout the league that do affect the Predators. Now, they're not for a while, but we will pass them along. The Sharks, not the Sharps, the Sharks, Willie, were coming to Nashville on April 14th. It's now scheduled for April 12th at 7 o'clock. So the Sharks from San Jose, not from Vegas, the Sharps, they will come here on April 12th instead of the 14th. That'll be a 7 o'clock game at Bridgestone Arena. And on also the Edmonton Oilers were scheduled to be here on April 12th. They're going to flop, and they'll now be April 14th. So I guess that's the best way to just know. San Jose, Edmonton, they've just basically switched dates.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark your calendar accordingly for the arrival of Connor McDavid.
I mean, I was I already had plans in place, but whatever. NHL, go ahead. And
yeah, I was going to say,
I haven't changed it.
I haven't thought ahead for 2 weeks from now, let alone April.
You didn't. Yeah. You didn't have something on the docket for April 12th?
I'm sure I do, but I just haven't looked.
I just want to let you know, I was so inspired by your speech on your vacation on how you were such a team player with your family.
Big sacrifices.
The sacrifices you're willing to make for Mahoney because he wanted to go to some Major League Baseball games, you sacrificed your time to then join him in those Major League games. I was so inspired by that. We got tickets to Blake Shelton tomorrow night, and I'm such a team player. I just said, you know what? I think for this one, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to watch Maddox. He's at school the next day. You go enjoy yourself with a friend. I'm going to sacrifice. I'll watch him, put him to bed, and I'll make the sacrifice at home. You go enjoy Blake Shelton at Bridgestone Arena, and I'll watch the Cowboys and the Bucks. So I was inspired by that.
Husband of the year, right?
Yeah,
there.
I mean, dad and husband of the year, right?
Yeah,
I mean, who does that? I did. I just did that.
Got to do what you got to do.
No, you go with a friend. Go have fun, and I'll sacrifice. The more I've thought about it, I'll sacrifice. I'll stay here, and I'll watch the Bucks and the Cowboys, and I'll put Maddox to bed.
Yeah.
I thought it was – but I just want you to know I was inspired by your efforts on vacation, and I felt the need to do the same thing.
Way to fall on the grenade there.
I know. I mean, look, I'm not looking
sacrifice.
For a lot of praise, but I just wanted to throw that out there, you know? But I did do that. And, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I feel like I'm doing the right thing, you know? Just want to help out things here at home.
I'm just glad I can be the inspiration to you, Darren, that tried to be.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it, but I thought, you know what? Willie was willing to sacrifice and go to a Mets game with Mahoney and a Phillies game with Mahoney. Why can't I sacrifice Blake Shelton and stay home with my kid and put him to bed and get him ready for, you know, so he can get a good night's sleep for school on Friday, and, you know, and I'll just sit around and flip through the TV and see what's on.
I'm just wondering if this is the game you want to play that card for, though. I mean,
it's the kickoff, Cowboys, and it's the Cowboys.
I mean,
Cowboys,
there's a pretty good promo going on DraftKings. I may, you know, have some,
a little
some
action
too. Some I mean, I'm just action. Saying.
What's the line?
7.5. Or they've also got a promo out there where you get Tampa Bay plus 73. See, that's a good one, too. That's called free money.
Plus 73?
You can middle that bad boy.
Wow. You can't get that stuff from anywhere else, folks. Only on Darren, Donick, and Chase. I know there's a betting show on Fridays during the 6 o'clock hour, but I bet even they haven't brought that up.
DDC exclusive.
How about that?
It's called The Money Line. Airs every Friday at 6. Thank you. Thank you for that promo.
Put that on a tee. You knocked it out. But, boy, you can't even get that stuff on The Money Line.
By the way, my lock of the week last week, I hit that and felt pretty good about it. Georgia.
What was your lock?
Georgia. I was all on Georgia.
You were.
I was hot to trot about Georgia.
And it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy, but dub is a dub.
So the question that I have for that game is, are the offenses a little overrated? Or are those two defenses just that good? I mean, the offenses couldn't do anything in that game.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia didn't have an offensive touchdown.
I had this vision of Uiagalelei, and he passed for like 500 yards in that game against Notre Dame. It was a great game when he got to play last year.
Clark Lee just texted in and said, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, Notre Dame did win the game. But
those two defensive line units are number 1 and 2 in the country, according to Phil Steele, coming into this year. So the line, at least, pretty nasty.
The trenches are quite important. Quite important. If you're winning those battles, then good things tend to happen. So maybe there's your answer. Maybe those defenses are just that good. But, boy, those are two good offenses to not have an – if you would have told me an offensive touchdown would not happen in that game, boy, I would have lost some money on that one.
So would I. I think it's an interesting – once we get Tim, I know he's just wrapping up some TV things. Once we get him on
– he has been on TV all day.
Your question about – at least the Clemson offense, because of his work with the ACC network, I'd be curious of his answer.
What game did he have last week? Do we know?
I knew you were going to ask me that. He had a couple. He did a couple of different games.
Which is why he wasn't with us last week, because he had a couple of games.
Yeah. I don't know off the top of my head. We'll have to ask him.
I think we're getting him right now, so we can start there, because he is doing a lot of college this year. And, of course, he is also our NFL expert.
Yes, he is. He covers a lot of different ground.
He does.
Which is what we love about him. As he's been on with us since the beginning of time. Okay, so he had USF at NC State on Thursday.
Snoozer.
Yep, so he did that one.
The Fighting Vince Ferraras.
Yes. And then,
well, let's find out.
Let's ask him.
Let's
instead
ask
of me
him.
Killing time.
Let's get it from the horse's mouth. Tim, what games did you have? So you had USF and NC State. That was a snoozer.
That was a blowout. That was a blowout. Hopefully.
And what was the other game?
Okay, so the other game was better than the other game that you were probably watching, because you watched a 10-3 game where the only touchdown scored was on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
And I had Northern Illinois, the Huskies, with Rocky Lombardi going down to Atlanta to upset Georgia Tech by going for two with 30 seconds left in the win. So listen, it's a little bit like you just name brand shopping. That's all you were doing on Saturday night, Darren.
I was.
Name brand shopping. Instead of being like, you know what? Who could I watch that would give me the most entertainment of, like, just an awesome game. And that would have been Northern Illinois at Georgia Tech.
You're right. I tend to put on the polo. I could have worn a Knights of the Round Table, but instead I wore a polo. You're right. That's a good point.
Could have.
So is Georgia Tech bad, or is Northern Illinois a lot better than they were the last couple of years?
You mean because they went 0-6 last year?
yes.
You mean that? Georgia Tech had better athletes than Northern Illinois. That's not a surprise. You know, Georgia Tech, even with the type of school that it is and things like that, because you are in Atlanta and they're trying to sell that there, they've got good athletes on their roster. So their quarterback didn't play well, and I think sometimes what happens when you get I think they were 19-point favorites.
Yeah, they were.
And, I think part of what happens is, like, if these, teams that are supposed to get beat, if they start hanging on and you give them life, they kind of see the hope, and then the team that's supposed to win all of a sudden starts getting a little nervous. And, I think part of that, can play into the equation. But, yeah, that's a really disappointing loss for Georgia Tech. That's year 3 under Jeff Collins there that's a game that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Before we get into the NFL, so the other one we were talking about before we brought you up was just no offensive touchdowns or a touchdown, period, on offense in the Georgia-Clemson game, and we would have lost money if that was a prop out there, that that there wouldn't have been an offensive touchdown. So is that a – I mean, is that a – I know we just talked about Georgia and Clemson's defense, both really good, but are they that good? Is Clemson going to struggle on offense this year, or was that just going up against a highly touted defense in Georgia?
Yeah, so for context, I have Clemson this weekend. I actually have Clemson, South Carolina State, which you're not going to tune into either. But the
correct, yes.
You know, watch that game in
preparation. Is that on Facebook or is that?
Listen, that is on the ACC network, Darren. Here's the deal. Georgia's defense is nasty. Like, that's a really, really good defense. So much speed. And I think that even Clemson was a little bit surprised at the speed on the Georgia defense. And, you know, for a little bit of context about Clemson offensively, Travis Etienne has been about as good of a running back as you'll see in college football. Speed, power, good in the passing game, obviously really good in the run game. And then the receivers that they've had, you know, obviously they've had the 6'3 guys outside that can run 4'4, and we've seen, you know, them kind of go on to the NFL. And so, you know, as guys like T. Higgins leave, and, you know, and then you see Justin Ross, and you think, well, hey, it's just going to be more of the same. You know, Justin Ross is coming off of two back surgeries. And then I think an element of what Clemson does not have is they don't have Hunter Renfrow working inside. They don't have Amari Rodgers working inside. And I think that's one of the things about the Clemson offense that, you know, kind of has also been a bit overlooked. Like, those guys weren't necessarily the star players, but, like, on third and six, who did they throw it to? They threw it to that guy. You know, so, you know, you think about the interception. It's, you know, you're essentially throwing to the guy that's in the slot, and it's, you know, the quarterback thinks it's a blitz adjustment and miscommunication on that, and boom, there you go. So I think that there's going to be, you know, some growing pains with the new quarterback. And I'll also say this. You know, if you think about whether it was Watson or Trevor Lawrence, especially in big games, think about how those guys ran the ball in big games. You know, Trevor Lawrence against, you know, Ohio State for 45 yards. Or, you know, think of how many goal line, you know, like red zone type touchdown runs that he had a year ago. Like, I think that there's an element of that that they need to find in their offense. So, look, I've seen a lot of people want to bury Clemson. And truthfully, like, I think two things can be true. I think Georgia can be really, really good, especially on defense. And I think that Clemson could still end up being 12-1 and hopefully for them, having a shot to get back in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, after looking at the ACC this past week, and yeah, I'd say they have a real good shot of running the table.
Well, listen, that's why a couple games this weekend are really big. Pitt playing Tennessee is a really big game for Clemson.
Yep.
NC State playing Mississippi State, like, you know, that's a big game for Clemson. That's a really bad spot for Clemson to be in. But, yeah, they need to be cheering for these ACC teams to beat some of these SEC teams that, you know, are not Alabama and Georgia and Florida.
So, in all seriousness, how can I support you? Because I'm looking through my program guide, and I've got Big Ten Network, I've got SEC Network, I've got Pac-12 Network. I don't have the ACC Network. How do you get that? What do I need to do? Can you hook me up?
I think you need to stop being on YouTube TV or you know, if people are cutting cords and stuff, you need to be adding services, Darren. Like, that's what you need to be doing.
So I got it. I got it right here, Tim, on my service. It's here now.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, when Tim called me and said, hey, you think I should do this and think I should take this ACC Network gig, I said yes. And I immediately called my provider and got it on there.
Because he was hedging on waiting for your answer. He wasn't sure what to do.
I have to, you know, I'm going to support my best friend and what he does.
Did he give you a secret code to get the ACC Network?
I can't tell you that. It's a secret.
Yes, we can't tell you that. But what I will tell you, in all seriousness, there's been a huge discussion about this, and I'm certainly not an expert about it, but a lot of talk about deal coming together with Comcast and the ACC Network, and I can just tell you, like, I have games on my schedule that I know are on the ACC network. Like, Notre Dame at Virginia Tech, I think it's October 9th. Like, that's a big game. And so I think, you know, I think it's a game, especially if Virginia Tech is as good as they might be, you know, that'd be a game people want to see. So,
yeah.
Listen, you know, right? I mean, that's how it goes.
I just flipped over right now, and Tim's on.
Okay.
Because they're showing South Florida NC State.
There you go. I threw this out earlier, Tim, and I said I would save it for you to get you to weigh in. If we were doing a prop bet on Julio Jones catches for this weekend against Arizona, and I had the over-under at 4.5, are you taking the over or are you taking the under? And why?
I've talked to you guys a lot about this. The most targeted wide receiver ever per game is Julio Jones in the history of the NFL. Gets the ball thrown to him 10 times a game. Okay? So, he's never played in an offense like this. He's never been in the role that he's in. So, I don't think that holds up. And so, with that being said, and, you know, just being with a new quarterback and all of that stuff, I'm going to take the under.
Ooh. Okay.
I tend to agree. I think, yeah. I said that. And I refer to Tim's stat of most targeted wide receiver in NFL history. And so, Tim, this was something that has been a really running theme, particularly this week when you now have a lot of people like yourself, analysts that are now asked, okay, make your final prediction now that you've seen the whole preseason. But it's so incomplete with Julio Jones and a host of other things, just on the Titans, but every team has got this list of players that are coming off of an injury or coming into a new situation, haven't seen them all in the preseason games. How do you try to wade through all the question marks to really assess how much progress has been made since the start of training camp?
Yeah, I think it's impossible. I really do. Because, like, you guys have heard me talk about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Like, I've been pretty bullish on those guys. But watching them play in the preseason, I'm kind of like, can I take that back? You know, like, I don't know that I want that position on it. You know, take Mac Jones, for example. Like, yes, he wins the starting quarterback job in New England. He beats out Cam Newton for the job. But then I'm also like, well, wait, Cam Newton threw 8 touchdowns last year. He was awful. And, by the way, you know, Mac Jones' starting receivers are Nelson Aguilar and Jacoby Myers. Like, are they really going to be that good? Like, maybe they look good in the preseason, but are they really going to be that good in the regular season? So I think it's impossible because, you know, the discrepancy that you will get in terms of talent when some teams are playing their starters and others are not is really significant. And I think it's just a different game when you get into the regular season in terms of game planning and things like that. So, like, take the Titans, for example. Like we watched, you know, more, you know, Logan Woodside and Matt Barkley than, you know, we probably will see all season long over 17 games. So I just don't know how you're really evaluating, you know, what the team is going to look like when, you know, the quarterback could, you know, who you weren't watching play could end up having a MVP caliber season.
No doubt about it. And on top of that, there's a lot of teams like the Titans who haven't even gotten the guys out there to practice together very much, let alone not playing in the preseason games. Let's go back to the Patriots for a second, Tim, because I've actually been pretty surprised that a lot of people, I don't know if it's just the Belichick magic, the lure of the free agent money they signed up for, they went on a spree in the offseason, but I hear a surprising number of people, because I don't know if I thought anybody would predict anybody but the Bills out of that division, but some people think the Patriots are a sleeper. It sounds to me like you're not really sold on that.
Not really. Look, I think Belichick is a phenomenal coach. I think that team will be ready. I was on Get Up this morning, and, you know, Dan Orlovsky was saying that he thinks that he had to rank his top 5 offenses, and New England was number 5. Like,
how?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Look, New England at five, and, you know, ahead of Green Bay, who's got a Pro Bowl running back and a great scheme and, you know, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play, and Davante Adams, and, like, I'm like, New England? You know, and then if you say, well, New England's got a good O-line, and they're going to run the football, and, you know, we like their scheme, and, you know, they got a good, good quarterback, I'd be like, and this is what I said on the show, like, well, how about the Titans? Like, anything you would want to sell me about the New England Patriots, I would basically tell you, you could say the same thing offensively about the Titans, only they're better. Like, for example,
they,
like,
were actually
the
making the argument
be
that
better.
The Patriots were better than the Titans on offense.
He was saying a top five offense.
Oh yeah, I watched it this morning. The Chiefs, the Bucks, the Bills, the Browns, and the Patriots.
Yeah, and so here's the deal: the Titans are better than New England offensively. Think about it; they're going to be able to run the ball just as well as New England's going to run the ball. I trust the Titans quarterback more than I trust Mac Jones, no matter how excited anybody is about him. Ryan's certainly a better runner. Like, there isn't any question about that. In fact, he's been as good at second reaction plays over the last 2 years as anyone that's played. And, oh, by the way, his two starting wide receivers are A.J. Brown, who's a true number one in the NFL, and Julio Jones, who's been a true number one in the NFL, not Nelson Aguilar and Jacoby Myers. So, yeah, that's how – so like, I'm just using that to kind of, you know, echo what you're saying, Willie, in that, man, yeah, a lot of people are fired up about New England, and I still think there's a fair amount of legitimate things to be concerned about.
Hmm. Yeah, can you even say the Titans are better than the Browns' offense?
Yeah, I think you can. Now, I would say that, like, the Browns – seem to have this balance that is really intriguing to people. In some ways, is approaching, you know, the way people think about McVay or think about Kyle Shanahan, guys like that. And I think that you could look at the situation, you know, here and say, look, the loss of Arthur Smith is a big deal. And so now you have a new play caller. Like, is he going to call games the same? They're going to use their personnel the same. And so I think that's a legitimate question mark, but certainly not enough for me to say, yeah, give me Mac Jones over Ryan Tannehill.
Hmm. One more, and then I'll pass it to Chase. I've heard so much talk about the Colts. There seems to be in this decision, are you picking the Colts or the Titans in the South? There is a total belief in virtually everything about the Colts roster except for the quarterback. It comes down to what are you going to get out of Wentz, and of course there's been a number of issues since the summer started with him. So what's your best guess on Wentz? And are you that sold on the rest of the roster for the Colts? It's sort of a championship-level roster.
Mm-hmm. I am sold on the rest of the roster. I think it's a great football team. In terms of Wentz, you guys, you know, we kind of had a similar conversation when he was traded. Here's what I would say. When he came there, I thought he's going to play great in that offense because they've got an awesome defense that's going to give him good field position. They've got a great offensive line and a really, really talented running back. Well, you know, I kind of was chalking up some of his issues about just being a little unfortunate with, you know, tearing an ACL or you know, whatever the injuries may be. You know, and then the foot thing happens, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, look, some guys just can stay healthy, and some guys just can't. So I think if he stays healthy, I feel the same way I did when the trade happened. They're not going to ask him to do too much, and he'll be great. I think if they ask him to do too much, then I think we'll see, you know, some up and downs. It's going to be a roller coaster. So I originally picked them to win the division. You know, I probably – you know, feel less secure about it with how training camp has gone for them. And at that point, obviously, would favor the Titans.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, also does work with the ACC Network as well. So going into tomorrow night with the kickoff to the season, the Bucks will raise their banner as they host the Dallas Cowboys. And we talked about this earlier, Tim, that the Bucks may be the only team that you look at and say, I can't find any questions because they pretty much brought everybody back. When you look at that team from top to bottom, is there anything that stands out to you that you would question going into this season?
Just the age. It's the only thing I'd just say, you know what, they've got some guys that have, you know, obviously a year older, you know, and they had some veteran players as it was. And so, you know, and that's just, you know, that's beyond Brady, right? I mean, you can say the same thing about Gronk, who will be a, you know, important part to what they do, or even, you know, and there is certainly a belief, and I said this this morning on TV, there is a belief down there by some of those coaches that, like, they feel like when they're running practices, they look like Pro Bowl practices from the standpoint of, like, these are Pro Bowl players across the board on both sides of the ball, you know, up and down, you know, segments of the defense and offense. And there are coaches that even believe that Brady going to have a career year. You know, they kind of talked about it, and Coach went and kind of looked it up and was like, you know, 2000 touchdowns, that might be hard. But guess what? His next best touchdown output on a season in his career was last year when he threw 40. And he was working out last offseason at local high schools because of COVID with players he'd never worked with before. Now some continuity, guys playing together, the confidence of playing together. I think Brady could end up literally playing nearly as well as he's ever played, which is wild to think.
And then on the other side of that, brace yourself, listeners. Here comes the Cowboys question. What needs to be, what in your mind is a realistic expectation for Dak? He hasn't played in the preseason. There are concerns with the shoulders. We know about the leg injury that ended his season last year. There's a lot with Dak. So what would you expect tomorrow night out of him?
I would expect to see a little bit of rust. That being said, I think Dak's going to have a very good year. And I think it won't be fair to him to evaluate him, you know, over-aggressively on, you know, 1 week after, obviously, the, you know, the stuff that you mentioned about leg injury and then missing some time with the shoulder injury in training camp. So, but I think Dak as a player is who we've seen him be throughout his career. I think he's a really good, efficient quarterback. He's good enough to win a Super Bowl with at the quarterback position. Their challenge is defensively. I don't think they're that good, and I think it's going to be hard for them to hold up. Dallas, in my estimation, probably ends up being a top 10 offense this season, and that will be in large part to Dak playing really well, which I think he will, even if we don't see a ton of it, you know, Thursday night.
I'm not going to say high on, but I'm optimistic about the Bengals. Not to make the playoffs necessarily. I just think they're going to be much improved. They open against Minnesota, and I'm not high on Minnesota this year. What's kind of your thought on Joe Burrow coming back for a second year, coming off the ACL, and trying to lead the Bengals as they continue to improve?
You know, I'm interested to kind of see how he moves around. Like, I mean, anybody that watched him play at LSU knows he made a ton of second reaction plays. And so even though he's not a, you know, running quarterback, he's like, he's slippery. He's hard to get down. And, you know, now he's lugging around a knee brace. You know, what does he look like escaping? I think he's a creator of offense. And so, you know, if he doesn't have the ability to do that, or he's just a little bit less elusive, I'm interested to see, like, what that does to his game. And then, you know, the other aspect of it is that I think that's a really good division. I mean, you know, top to bottom, you know, it might be the best if it's not, you know, if it's not the NFC West, you know, I would have it as the AFC North.
Fantasy football question on the way out the door. Can I do that?
No, yeah. Let's go.
I've got Davante Adams and Allen Robinson as my two receivers. So we have two flex. Okay, and can you pick two for me of this group for my flex, okay? So two receivers in Tampa, Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown, so they'll be Thursday night. Javonte Williams, the running back in Denver, A.J. Green out in Arizona, and Jalen Reagor. Could you pick two for me of that group? Which ones do you feel the best about?
You said Godwin and
Brown? Godwin and Brown.
All right, so I'm taking Godwin.
Okay.
I think he's likely to score a touchdown. And then, probably not going to be Rieger. Probably going to be, Antonio Gibson you have?
Well, Gibson is one of my starting running backs. No, it was Javonte Williams, that running back in Denver, the rookie in Denver. Brown,
Williams,
A.J. Green, and Rieger.
Yep,
that North Carolina guy, yep. I know, that's
I just want to feel good about Rieger or A.J. Green.
You don't feel good about either one of those two? Okay, so what about Brown or Williams?
PPR?
Nope, standard.
Oh, then I'd probably go on Javonte Williams at that point.
Okay. That's what I've got in right now, Godwin and Williams,
crazy.
But I wasn't sure.
Crazy. Why? I mean, you're asking lineup stuff, and I've got a draft tonight. I don't know if you saw Adam Schefter's this morning. He's like, he's all fired up about, the draft tonight. And you're already asking lineup questions.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get prepared to draft against Schefter and Mort and all these guys that...
This is your ESPN league?
Just sitting on information, It's like, come on.
I got a draft tonight, too. You're not alone.
Do you?
9:30 start.
Oh, God.
10:30 Eastern. We got some guys in our league that's
what?
In Eastern. These are a small group that I've been doing this with since college.
Wow.
9:30 start?
9:30 Central time. Some of these guys, half of these guys are in Eastern time. They're starting at 10:30. They had family stuff. They had to push it back.
What in the world?
It just kept getting pushed back and pushed back. We've gone to the brink.
Darren will have been asleep for an hour at that point.
You're saying don't text Darren during the draft and say, Darren, who should I take? Should I take this guy? Because he will not respond.
He's probably coming back from the batting cages.
No, we got baseball practice. Yeah.
Okay. I got one quick question on the way out, okay? Yeah. And I hope you guys have just touched on it at least at some point during the show. But do we know if does help with, burns? Have we confirmed any of this yet?
You cut out, Tim.
We do need to address this.
You guys need to address this. Just because Chase is just out there saving lives on Twitter.
Yes.
Okay? So we
absolutely.
So you guys do need to address it.
What did he say? He cut out. I didn't hear what Tim said.
Okay. Well, we need to maybe on the other side fill people in on this because this is a huge thing.
Okay.
Because Chase is out there. He's helping people, and he's coming up with things that people have never heard of before, these very simple methods. It's like a Little House on the Prairie, the town doctor, very simple methods to actually help people get through with a crisis.
Right now, people are Googling Little House on the Prairie.
Hey, yes.
Hey, not all superheroes wear capes. Some people just use their keyboard. Okay?
You saw that in a movie. That's a movie quote. Tim, thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week. Happy drafting tonight.
See you, fellas.
All right. See ya. Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN.
Yeah, love Darren, I'll fill you in. This was a big thing on Twitter
last
night.
Well,
this
we'll come because we had practice, so I didn't see it. So we've got Ben Arthur to start the final hour, and then when we're done talking Titans with Ben, we'll figure out what's going on Twitter that I've missed. Okay?
Okay.
All right, fourth and final hour next.